is Israel secretly trafficking thousands of refugees to Africa. There are some 45,000 African asylum seekers in Israel. Many have been forced to protest their appalling living conditions within Israeli-occupied territories. 92% of them are from Eritrea and Sudan, with thousands now being deported by the regime. Over 3,000 Eritrean and Sudanese asylum seekers have left Israel over the past 2 years alone. Not for their home countries, mind you, but under a deal shrouded in secrecy for Uganda and Rwanda instead. What exactly is going on, and are several African countries complicit in Israeli activities?
As Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu returns from a historic visit to Uganda for the 40th anniversary of the Entebbe raid, the first time an Israeli premier has visited Africa since 1994, African asylum seekers remain stranded in limbo there. For over a year, Israel has been sending African refugees to Uganda and Rwanda, offering them cash in return for leaving. The Israeli continues to insist that the asylum seekers are not refugees, but labor migrants seeking work, and that they are leaving voluntarily. As the governments of Uganda and Rwanda deny that any refugee deals exist between them and Israel, are refugees being swapped for benefits?
This is Africa Today. A very warm welcome to you. I'm Amina Taylor. On this edition of the program, we look into the murky business of refugee relocation for aid involving Israel and several African nations. Joining me to unpick this complicated affair is Jafar Amini, the Palestinian writer and political analyst, alongside Kofi Mawuli Klou, who's the chief executive commissioner of the Panafrida Daba. Welcome, gentlemen, to you both. Now, I must ask, why was Netanyahu on that four-country visit? I'll kick off with you, Jafar.
To start with, it's a nostalgic homage to his brother who was killed in the raid in Entebbe 40 years ago. And the second reason is to expand the Israeli brand. It's an exercise in marketing. It's an exercise of expansion of Israel into Africa for many reasons. Africa is a rich continent. Africa is full of minerals. And the main reason for Israel to have such interest in Africa, especially those three nations, is the Nile. They want the water of the Nile, and they've been after it since the 1970s to, if you like, to twist the arms of Egypt to sign a peace treaty with Israel, which they did in 1979. Otherwise, we'll cut the water off and you will die of thirst.
Now, we can understand why Israel would want to be involved within the African continent. They were back in the 60s, and we'll come back to that historical allegiance. But why would these African countries think this is a good idea, especially in this political climate, Kofi?
Well, because, you know, the nation state that has been created by European imperialism in Africa now is in crisis, and Brexit has actually worsened the crisis for these various nation states of European imperialism in Africa, and they are not able to even, you know, put budget together, you know, and they don't know where it's coming from. So in this particular situation, Israel is stepping in to see how it can twist the arms of these, you know, very, very vulnerable African regimes, you know, further, but more importantly, to be able to strengthen its policing role. Israel has been strategically located by the European powers in the Middle East, not just in terms of safeguarding the geopolitical interests of Europe in the Middle East, but also to watch over their, you know, remnants of their empire in Africa. And now, what is simmering on the ground in terms of the economic freedom fighters in South Africa, the re-emergence of the pro-Nkrumah movement with the Convergent People's Party and Nkrumah Bussafu in Ghana, you know, really rearing their heads, and also the the increasing unrest in the Horn of Africa. You know, Israel is now being pushed into Africa more, you know, to be able to secure, you know, Western geopolitical interests.
You see it like that, Jaffa? Is there some convergence of opinion here?
No, I see it exactly as Kofi said. It's expanding the West's interest. First of all, Israel sold itself as the only democracy in the Middle East. And most of these youngsters you're talking about who went from Sudan, Eritrea, and other African countries thought that this is the case. Israel is only a democracy if you are a white Ashkenazi Jew.
If you're a Falasha, yeah, buying into that dream.
The Falashas, I remember vividly when it happened, and it was done by a very infamous Saudi businessman, arms dealer, whom I should not name because he's still alive, with Mr. Jafar Numeri of Sudan. And when they brought the Falasha, it was a very big propaganda coup, if you like. But when the Falasha arrived in Tel Aviv and in other kibbutz in Israel, they found the reality to be different.
And what is that reality? If you are an Israeli of color, or trying to be an Israeli of color, what does that mean? I'll start with you there.
Well, it's a racist society. I mean, Israel is a fascist society. It's a, Desmond Tutu described Israel as worse than the apartheid regime of Israel is worse than South Africa. And another man of the cloth from Uganda said that the South African apartheid regime compared to the Israeli apartheid regime in Palestine is a walk in the park. So if you are a person of color, if you are not Jewish, and if you're not white, even the Jews who are from the Arab world, what is known as the Mizrahim Jews, are discriminated against. A very famous article by Gideon Levy, who is a columnist in the Haaretz, said Israel has three kind of governance, one for the Ashkenazi Jews, one for the Arabs of 48, and one for the Arabs in the West Bank and Gaza. And they're all discriminatory. They think of us, the Palestinians, as animals or cockroaches. And I'm sure they think worse of the Africans.
But then if there are stories coming out, because during this visit, there were some protests by Ethiopians saying, look, we know that there is racism back in Tel Aviv and in other occupied areas. And we want you to know that we are not happy with how some of our brethren and our brothers and our sisters are being treated. This pretty much fell on deaf ears, Kofi.
Of course. I mean, why? You know, Israel was created again to serve as a model neo-colony of global apartheid racism, right? Israel, you know, was very key in maintaining the old style of apartheid in Southern Africa for a very long time because that served its own purpose. So, people of color in Israel are, of course, you know, discriminated against in the very same way like the Palestinian population, and now that's again the anti-racist upsurge globally. We see an anti-racist upsurge globally, and white supremacy is being threatened.
If we had a situation where inviting dark-skinned Jews to come and live in the occupied territories was a propaganda coup. We've now seen in practice that that doesn't work. Israel's trying to pretty much return as many of these people back from whence they came, or if that's not appropriate, sending them to whomever will take them. Why would Rwanda and Uganda get involved in this, apart from the reasons that Kofi's mentioned here? We're talking about hard cash. We're talking about the enticement of favorable trading situations. Rwanda's for sale? Uganda's for sale? Is that what we're
hearing? Well, as far as Israel is concerned, everybody's for sale and they are willing to pay the price. And it's excuse me, and bully for them because the price is being paid by American money.
Yes.
America gives Israel every year $3.5 billion, and Israel receives the latest state-of-the-art armament and defense equipment from America gratis. And America considers Israel, as Kofi said, as its arm in the Middle East. What they miscalculated about, that's the Americans and the Western powers, that Israel has an agenda of its own. It's called Greater Israel. And Greater Israel will engulf most of the Middle East, some parts of Africa, some parts yes. of Arabian Peninsula, and they will not stop until they achieve it. There is no limit to their ambition and avarice. And unfortunately, the world is looking the other way, especially when there is elections in the United States of America. Israel does its worst to us, the Palestinians, and the neighboring countries when there is election in America, because they know Jewish power, Jewish money, and Jewish influence.
You don't want to be the candidate that goes
well,
and
exactly.
say you can't you, have
you just
what,
can't.
What you
just
want.
Look at both Trump and Mrs. Clinton now. They are both vying to call each other, I am not anti-Semitic. I love Israel. I'll do anything for Israel. Mrs. Clinton actually declared to the world and to her electorate that if I'm the president, I'll make Israel my priority. Excuse me? I think the American people should be your priority, not Israel.
There are some interesting things that we throw up when you discuss the Israeli situation. But from an African perspective, if you are Rwanda or Uganda, why would you not come out and say, look, there's a deal on the table. We're doing the best for our people in these very tough economic conditions. What's the secrecy?
No, why, because the governments know that that is not the best for their people, right?
Exactly.
You know, in fact, in most of the governments we have in Africa today, you know, survive on selling Africa off, basically, to the highest bidder. And now Israel is becoming, you know, one of the highest bidders because it's been funded, you know, to literally buy Africa off, bully and buy Africa off, right? So we have these governments that run by the African elite that is so parasitic, you know, and anti-people, it can do nothing for its people. You know, so it has to get what is on offer, you know, in order to satisfy its interests,
but on
please
that note,
its own Western bosses, and terror with and this is the point. When you look at what the governments are getting in return, it includes military support and training. So they are also being supported to prepare for more terrorizing their own people in order to maintain these unpopular, you know, governments. So,
but
so
within
this is
all of
is.
This, we're yeah. talking about vulnerable people
right.
who are being shifted from pillar to post. Now, there are reports that these individuals can just be left to their own devices when they enter a country that they don't have any connections yeah. with.
Right.
All as a part of a deal, like, look, you wanted to stay in these occupied territories. That's not working out. There's offer of work and something here. A little humanity in the middle of all of this bullying and bartering, Kofi. Am I expecting
well, no,
too
but
much
you see,
here?
The governments, both the current regime in Israel, right, and governments in Africa, have a very callous attitude to. There is no humanity in the way they relate
no,
to people, right?
That's right?
You know, they have to maintain themselves in power because it is through being maintained in power, pay for by the highest bidder, that they also escape poverty, right? So they are very callous to everybody. People don't matter in this whole, you know, situation. So we have a situation where, you know, the African refugees who are in Israel are being terrorized to say, well, you can't stay in this place, right? And we are offering you the only way out is you go back somewhere in Africa. Okay, the African governments don't care about those human lives, but they care about the security assistance, the military and security assistance they're going to get from Israel to secure themselves, you know, in power against an indignant, you know, population.
And we'll Israel come back to also, that after, Kofi. Stick a pin in that one because I need your thoughts on some of what we're going to read out here because, of course, as always, your feedback is important to us here on the program. And thank you for leaving your thoughts on the Africa Today social media pages. And here's just some of what you had to say about this week's topic. We're going to kick things off with Abdul Hakim in Sudan, who says, Netanyahu is very welcome in East Africa. He can come to us whenever he likes, and you should not say it is bad that he comes here. We love him here. He's wanted for war crimes against our brothers in Palestine. Let him come here again. We are ready. And Taebwa from Uganda says, why is everybody in Europe surprised and talking about our president who kept saying Palestine, not Israel? It is Palestine. There is no Israel. If someone steals my home and lives there, no one changes the name of the house except the thief. And Ali in Somalia says, Israel needed slaves like America and Europe. It came to the slave market, Africa. It took the slaves, used them, and now sent them back. Thank God did not throw them off a boat. If transport was expensive and there was no media, they would have thrown us from a boat. All right, so if you want your views reflected on the program, please get in touch. Good, bad, or indifference, here's how. Welcome back to Africa Today. We were just discussing there some of the murkier aspects of this kind of refugee swap for aid and assistance. And the backdrop of this, of course, is the very complicated history that Israel has enjoyed or not with the African continent. Kofi, you were just saying there before, there is a reason why this happens. Some of what we're hearing from people who got in touch is that we shouldn't be surprised. Why especially am I surprised about this?
Well, yeah, people on the ground know this, you know, that their governments are so vulnerable, you know, that they will make any kind of deal. All they are obsessed with is keeping themselves, you know, in office, right? You know, as a way of looting and enriching themselves. And they don't care about their people. Now, Israel has a problem now, you know, with its African asylum seekers and refugees. They need to find them somewhere. But also behind, let me say this, you know, that behind this whole returning of refugees, African refugees, to places in Africa, particularly to Uganda and Rwanda, let's go back to the point that was made about Israel seeking to expand, you know, its brand. It's not just its brand. You know, Uganda was one of the places that the state of Israel was supposed to have been originally planned to be established.
True, that's true.
And so Israel has not forgotten that. The sinister thing about this whole deal is that it will eventually create a situation where Israel takes more territory to expand itself, you know, in Africa.
You see that, Jeffrey?
Yes, I did say that already. It's about the Greater Israel project. If you look at Israel now, and since the inception, there has been no borders.
Yeah.
They don't have borders. Yeah. And when they discussed with the Palestinians this futile peace process for the last 22 years, borders are not mentioned. The right of return of Palestinians is not mentioned. They mentioned the two-state solution, which I prefer to call the two-state delusion, because it's not
exactly
going to happen. Their original idea, and I ask for our African brothers and sisters to read a document that was written in 1982 by Israel called the Oded Yenon Plan. It's all there. It's in black and white. It shows you about their ambitions and how they're going to destroy the countries they are destroying now, especially Iraq. If you read the chapter of this document about Iraq, I promise you it reads like a film script.
Mm.
And they are doing it. Mm. They wanted to divide Iraq into three states, Shiite in the south, Sunni in the middle, and Kurd in the north. And they have achieved that. as the gentleman said, their expansionism, the Golan Heights, according to all international law and convention, is an occupied territory, but it's full of oil. So they want to annex it permanently. And 2 months ago, Netanyahu, as your viewer from East Africa said, the war criminal, convened the cabinet in the Golan Heights as if to emphasize the point that this is ours. And we're never going to leave. And when you discuss with Israelis, if they ever listen, come on, let's find an accommodation. They're not interested, because if you say two-state solution, no. Judea and Samaria is ours, the Bible said so. If you discuss the one-state solution, they say, no, it's a demographic threat. We cannot allow, we're going to wipe out the Jewish character of the state. And if you say the word Jew, then you are accused of anti-Semitism to shut you up. And if you are a Jew who happens to say, I'm a Jew, I disagree with Israel, then you are branded as a self-hating Jew. You can never win. And the reason is one and very simple. The United States of America, carte blanche for Israel, coverage in money, covering in diplomacy, coverage in the United Nations, and armaments, and whatever Israel...
Well, let's discuss that United Nation plan, because Netanyahu specifically said during this tour in Africa that he did mention 50 countries, we want to remind him they're 54, but the idea that Israel could have observer status with the African Union, something they haven't had since the relaunch in 2002. But also, back in 2014, when there was a United Nations Security Council thing to have for Palestine to say Israeli territories, that infringement needed to stop, Nigeria and Rwanda abstained, and the motion wasn't passed. Now, is he intently just trying to get that bloc on side? Because this is being seen as a fight for the very survival of this place.
Well, I don't think it's about getting, you know, it's the one thing you can lobby to have a block of independent, you know, players, you know, whether state or non-state actors, you know, on your side, okay? It's another thing when you have actually aggressive intent of taking over. I mean, in the discussions that we have been having as Pan-African with, you know, the Momentum Black Connections, the Pan-African Reparations Coalition, you know, in Europe to discuss these, you know, critical issues that affect particularly our African heritage, you know, communities. You know, what alarms us is the failure of the African governments who are playing ball in this whole thing to see that this will eventually be their undoing. The misuse of refugees, Iraqi refugees, particularly, you know, for the invasion, you know, of Iraq, because they select people from among them, train them, and use them for the Western agenda. The people who are being sent back, you know, to Africa.
I leave just a final question on this one, because we're pressed for time.
We should be careful about what they will be used
very, very
for.
Quickly on this, Jaffa. How would you like this to be dealt with?
What do you mean, this?
The refugee situation, very quickly.
Humanely. I cannot see any justification for any nation in the world, Israel, America, the West, the devil himself, dealing in people as commodities.
Yes. And we'll leave it at that. Very sane words there. And the clock's beaten us for another week. And thank you for staying with Africa Today. We look forward to your feedback, those comments and suggestions. And a special note of appreciation to my guest, Jaffar Ramini, and to Kofi Mawuli-Klu. I've been Amina Taylor. Until next time, stay tuned to Press TV.